Our text for today is the very familiar words of Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. I invite you to rise as we hear this wonderful recording of the birth of our Lord. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. I'm going to take you way back into the Old Testament to start. When Moses, before God had really put him in a position of guiding everybody out of Exodus, Moses was a shepherd in Midian, and he was taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. He was out in the wilderness near Mount Horeb, and God came to appear to him and to speak to him, if you remember the great story, in the burning bush, and the bush was not consumed by fire. But God says to him at that time, "Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. I am the God of your father." And we're told Moses hid his face and was afraid to look at God, couldn't even look at the bush. Now, he'd probably started fires before as a shepherd and maybe as a teenager. You know, when you're a teenager, you love messing around with fire. I know I did. And he'd probably done this many times and been near a burning bush many times in his life, but this one was so different. Later on, he says, it's recorded in Hebrews, "I tremble with fear," is what Moses said. So what made this incident so terribly frightening to him? Well, it's because God was making his presence known to them in this very unique way. And we often see this reaction in human beings when they're in the presence of God, and or maybe get a little glimpse of his glory to some extent, or even just his angels when they visit. We think about later in the book of Exodus on Mount Sinai, when God comes down and gives his law to Moses, we're told that the children of Israel, if you imagine them, probably over a million of them, suddenly heard the voice of God and they backed away from the mountain. Can you imagine what that looked like? To see a crowd that large suddenly start to move all at once upon hearing the voice of God away from the mountain. And this is what they said to Moses at the time. "You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us or we will die." There's another great story in the book of Daniel of Belshazzar, right? The king in the palace of the king Belshazzar. If you remember the story of God's hand writing on the wall. And we're told that when that happened, we're told the king's color changed. He became white. And his limbs gave way and his knees locked. Just seeing the hand writing on the wall just freaked him out that much. Think about the transfiguration of Christ. We're told that the disciples fell to the ground terrified. Shepherds, just in the Christmas story, shepherds seeing the angel and the heavenly host, they were sore afraid, the King James Version says. The Greek there actually says they were afraid with major fear. Megaphobia is the word in the Greek. They were afraid with major fear. So what is it about being this close to God and having his presence? What is it that causes human beings to be so terrified and to just tremble and fall apart and have their legs shake and everything else? What is it about that? A lot of times we think, well, wouldn't it be neat if I got to see an angel? No, you don't want to see an angel in our fallen state. The fact that we are sinful human beings, there's fear and terror just being in the presence of a representative of God, not even being that close to him. Now, our first parents, Adam and Eve, they didn't have to deal with this before the fall into sin. God walked through the garden in the cool of the day and conversed with them. There was no terror or fear. But as soon as they disobey God, what do we see? They're hiding. They're running away from God. They don't want to be in his presence. The reason that, fallen human beings have such a problem is because to see God in his holiness is terrifying. It causes us to realize our sinfulness, our mortality, our weakness, our inabilities. It just exposes all of that to be in that kind of a situation so close to God. And so God has chosen to intervene in human history to change how you approach him. He's chosen to come into history in a whole different way because it has always been God's will and intent that human beings like you, like me, would be in a peaceful relationship with him. And so he has chosen to come into our world history in the face of this little child. And St. Paul says, in Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form. That's an awesome passage. The incarnation. In Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form. My sister has often said when she gets to hold one of her little grandchildren or maybe even one of her own children, when they're really tiny infants, newly born, she puts them up to her face and she says, "This is like the best feeling in the world." And maybe if you've ever done that, there's something really unique about that. To take a really little baby and put them next to your cheek and by the side of your head. There's just something really amazing about that. Adults will often start to talk around a little baby in a whole different way than they talk to each other. It's almost like you get a whole different personality when you're talking to a tiny little baby. You can see it in the little kids, like the siblings, older brothers and sisters. When they first get that chance to hold that little baby, their baby sibling, usually, it's almost like they take on a whole different nature. They become like little nurses. They become like little caretakers of that infant. It's really interesting that when we look into the face of a little child, we see innocence. We see that they're so extremely vulnerable, and they're so very dependent upon you. And we know that they have no way to harm you, and they're not in any way judgmental of you. So there's something completely different about being around a little child like that. And a lot of times the baby will smile at you and will kind of interact with you. The child is very curious and social. That's just kind of built into a little child. You could be the biggest jerk in the world, and that little baby will smile at you. You could have just committed a crime, and that child will still interact with you with kind of such a loving look. I often wonder, did the shepherds, when they came to the manger of Christ, did the shepherds get to actually hold Jesus? Did Mary say to them, like some moms often do, "Do you want to hold him?" Did they get a chance to actually take him in their arms? The wise men, did they actually get to look right into his face 6 inches away and make little cooing noises? This was a truly human interaction that Scripture records for us. Now think about all the ways that God could have come into this world if he really wanted to intimidate you and me. Storms, disasters, lightning, huge armies, intense noise, all the ways God could have come into the world to just freak you out and just terrify you and make you run away from the mountain. But instead, he has decided to come in the face of a little child, to put his fullness into this little body, into this cute little face, so that you and I would be drawn toward him, because that's what he wants. He wants you to be drawn toward him. And so this little infant child has come into the world, and through his very body and blood will someday go to the cross the same kid, will go to the cross and be crucified for every sin that would have kept you and me out of heaven, so that I can stand here today and declare to you, because of what he's done, that all of that has been wiped away, has been cleaned off of God's record, and he sees you as nothing but holy and perfect because of his holy and perfect little child and what he's done for you. And by faith in him, you have the absolute certainty and promise that someday you will get to be in heaven with all of God's saints. You know, if you could have looked into Jesus' face that day, if you could have been one of those shepherds, despite all of the wicked things and sins and thoughts and horrible stuff that you and I have done in our lives, he would still smile at you with his grace. Despite the fact that even that little child knows absolutely everything about you, even your worst moments, but he still has come to be your Savior. In heaven, we are told in the book of Revelation that we will finally see God face to face. And trust me, it will not bother us. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, John records. What a wonderful thing that will be, to actually be in the presence of God and have no fear at all because of this baby. Amen. Please rise for prayer. A few weeks ago, we had a prayer for Savannah Klocksim, who at the time was experiencing difficulty during her pregnancy. And she went into labor early, 3 months early, and her little baby boy was born 3 months prematurely. His name was Warren Reed Klocksim. He was baptized into Christ, and 33 minutes later was taken to heaven. And this is what she wrote in her note. While our hearts ache and we don't understand why, we rest in the promise of heaven. Let's have a prayer for their family. She's one of our students in our master's program. Our dear Father in heaven, at your invitation, we approach your throne of grace on behalf of the Klocksim family. In this time of deep sadness, we pray that you would lift them up in your arms and be with them. We are so grateful for the blessed hope you have provided in your word regarding the waters of sacred baptism. May the gracious promises you have granted us through the gift of your Son now give comfort and peace to Savannah and her family as they grieve the loss of their little boy, Warren. In this holy season, stir up our hearts in true faith that we are drawn to the manger of our Savior to seek those things which are above, that by your grace we may someday join the heavenly host of all your saints arrayed in white, who along with your angels sing your praises eternally. We ask it all in Christ's saving name. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Depart in his peace. Amen.